Network. I'm your host, Emory Hunt, the czar of the playbook. Joined as always with my co-host, Gene Clemens. And Gene, this is the Football Game Plan High School Recruiting Roundup Show 2015 Signing Day Special. Oh, had to sneeze.
I was about to say, did you get that all? Did you get that all in? You know, I can't even repeat it. It was just way too much to say at one time. But regardless, we're really excited. There's been a lot of excitement all day. I've been bouncing around Tampa all morning, all afternoon. Had a chance to get by Armwood High School and see the live announcement of the number one recruit in the nation by many, and obviously by us, Byron Cowart, a guy whom I think is a plug and play starter the moment that he steps foot on the campus. And it's just been exciting all day to see kids really start to see their dreams come to reality. And that's a great thing for these young men as they go forward. But now, you know, once they sign the dotted line, like, you know, a colleague of ours have said in his story, and if you haven't checked it out, Brandon Howard at -Diallo1, I think you should definitely check out his story talking about when kids sign on the dotted line and what does a scholarship really mean. And it's back to square one for these guys now, because all of the recruitment is over and now it's time to de-recruit and then see what these kids are really going to do. But it was a really exciting day today, and looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, it is always an exciting day when we're talking signing day, because it is an exciting moment for these kids, for the families, for the coaches, for the fan bases. But if you're out there listening, you can follow the show live on blogtalkradio.com/footballgameplan. And if you missed the show or want to hear this taping again, you could find it archived at footballgameplan.com/network. If you have a question, you can call in at 323-657-1489. And we have an action-packed show for you today. And what we're going to talk about the early, quote-unquote, winners from signing day. I know it's early, but we're going to look at some schools that have stood out with some outstanding recruits they brought in today. We're going to take a look at some of the top recruits and how they fit into those programs. We'll analyze signing day. Gene alluded to it earlier. We'll also look at some walk-ons and how they factor in to signing day. And it's almost like that undrafted free agent that now gets the luxury of picking a school. And we're also looking at different schools and how unique the recruiting is for those schools, whether it be a bigger school, a smaller school, a D3, a JUCO, a non-scholarship FCS. This uniqueness that goes into what happened today, all within encompassing signing day. And again, as always, you can hit us up on Twitter at FBallGamePlan, at Gene Clemens. So Gene, just starting off with you, who are some of the early standouts from signing day, guys that are programs that had big-time days today?
Well, I think if you want to start anywhere, you have to start at Auburn University, or at the University of Auburn, Auburn University. With them signing Byron Cowart, with them getting Cowart signed on the dotted line, I think that it says a lot about the power of coaches in football, especially in college football, because when you look at it, no one was talking about Cowart to Auburn until Gus Malzahn was able to land Will Muschamp as his defensive coordinator. Once Muschamp landed in Auburn, all of a sudden, Cowart came on board as a possible recruit for Auburn. So I think that you start there. You look at Javon Robinson, another five-star recruit. You know, another guy that was able to do some really good things. And you look at the other guys they were able to bring on. I think they brought on like three linebackers, Montavious Atkinson, Darrell Williams, and Richard McBride. Two guys from Alabama, so they stayed in house. Another guy from Georgia, so they went right across the street and grabbed something. But they had a heavy emphasis on defense and offensive line. They brought in three big road grading offensive linemen, and I think that the rich got richer in Auburn. But I think on top of getting Byron Cowart, I think you should watch out for a name, Ryan Davis. They have him listed as an athlete. But Ryan Davis has played quarterback his entire life. And all of the talk has been that he's going to move to wide receiver because he's only, you know, 5'10", 5'11", he's slighter built. But don't be surprised that if Auburn starts running into problems with whomever they decide to start with at quarterback, if they don't turn to this kid and like Nick Marshall, allow him to be an athlete that grows into the position of quarterback. This is a kid who has thrown the ball a lot more effectively than Nick Marshall ever did in high school. He was a very prolific passer, and he broke all kinds of passing records in Pinellas County in Florida. He's my wild card. If he gets an opportunity to play quarterback at Auburn, you could see a situation that maybe in a year, Auburn is definitely one of those people that you're saying, man, they could run off 2 to 3 college football playoff runs in a row.
And I believe since you're talking offense, you could say the same thing about what UCLA did today. First of all, we talked about this guy ad nauseum in the spring last year, Josh Rosen, the quarterback out of St. John Bosco in California. He's already enrolled, he's going to participate in the spring. But today, getting a guy in Soso Jumonbo, outstanding tailback, Chris Clark, the tight end, the offensive lineman that we also broke down on our spring show, Josh Woriboko out of Oklahoma City. So that's a good foundation for an offense that had some question marks last year. We know they're going to be able to play defense at UCLA, but getting good offensive talent helped them out a lot on today. What are your thoughts on UCLA's recruiting class?
I thought it was excellent. Not only did they address the quarterback position with Rosen and bring in a guy early who can get up to speed fast enough that he could be a day one starter, but they brought in arguably one of his best friends and one of the most fast rising prospects in the nation in Cordell Brodus. It was a little bit of a shocker that he did not go to USC, but then at the same time, I understand why he didn't go to USC. His best buddy's playing quarterback at UCLA. He's already there. It gives him an opportunity to stay in Southern California, but to, in a way, separate and make his own name because his father is so synonymous with USC because of his love for the Trojans. I like the move by Broadus. I thought it was a smart move, and my only hope is that UCLA continues to develop that perimeter talent like they've begun to develop the talent on the defensive side and up the middle.
And you look across town at USC, they did themselves a huge favor on the defensive side of the ball, landing the number one cornerback prospect in the country, Iman Marshall. He committed to USC, and you team him up with Adoree Jackson from last year. You also look at Sua Cravens and Leon McQuay. That's an impressive secondary for USC.
USC's defensive backfield has a very Florida flavor to it. Iman was one of the guys who really shocked Florida State Nation. Florida State thought that they were going to have this young man come into the fold and boost and even give them an opportunity to make a run at the number one overall recruiting class. He decides to go to USC. I don't think he's as big of a loss for Florida State, but it's a huge get for USC, and for Steve Sarkisian, who the question was, is can he recruit as well as Lane Kiffin? Well, guess what? He proved that he's just every bit as good as Lane Kiffin, at least in his first full season as the USC head man.
Now, who's another team that stood out to you that had a quality day in signing some good prospects?
Well, I mean, the list goes on and on. You have to be impressed with what Kirby Smart was able to do. What they were able to do down at the University of Florida and being able to save so many of the prospects that had jumped ship once Will Muschamp was no longer the coach. You look at a guy that they were able to flip a guy like Jordan Scarlett from being in Miami to commit and then taking them away from Florida State because before today's signing day, he had just visited Florida State. So they took a guy who was committed to Miami, who was enamored with Florida State, and got him to commit and sign at Florida. I thought that was big. They followed that up with some really big names on the defensive line. I think that they did themselves a great service in salvaging what could have been a disastrous recruiting season, and could have put them back another year before they were able to compete. They still have questions at quarterback, but I think that they, as far as adding talent on the perimeter, as far as replenishing the talent that they're losing this year and that they've lost over the last couple years, I thought they did a really good job. I'll be interested to see what they do once they have a full year to recruit.
I look at one school that did a solid job all around, but more in particular up front within the offensive and defensive line. Syracuse, I thought, did a great job in getting in, 12 O-line and D-linemen in this class. They're building a Big East team to compete in the ACC, and I think that's a great idea because we know how tough teams are when they're able to run the football and control the line of scrimmage, and with the advent of spread offenses and teams wanting to spread the field, no one wants to play physical. I love what Syracuse did, getting 12 O-linemen, D-linemen, 7 D-linemen, 5 offensive linemen, and they were headlined by a very good tight end. They got transferred from a junior college and Trey Dunkelberger. I think this guy is excellent, 6'4", 230. But when you look at the defensive lineman, you look at Jake Pickard, 6'6", 231 out of Short Hills, New Jersey, Millburn High School. Excellent defensive lineman. Saw a lot of his tape. And also Stephen Clark out of Arab, Alabama. And they, again, cast that net wide. They got guys from Connecticut, Ohio, Alabama, Massachusetts, Illinois, Jersey, New York, obviously, Georgia. So I think this is a good class for Syracuse that helps get them back to national relevance.
And if you're going along those lines, I go to the University of Michigan, and I don't necessarily try to rank the entire recruiting class because Harbaugh did get a very, very late start of it. But and it's not as if Michigan had a ton of top prospects already in the queue. But here's what I like that he did. He was able to secure two guys who are legacies, two guys whose father played at Michigan, who are going to follow in their father's footsteps. And then they were able to flip one guy that I know Texas is really high on, and that's the 6'7 quarterback out of New Mexico, Zach Gentry. I think that Zach Gentry is probably the number one winner from a player's perspective in recruiting today, because Zach Gentry took himself from a situation where he didn't know what he would have, how he would be developed, what type of pedigree he would be able to create with the coaching staff at Texas, even though I think Charlie Strong is going to do a great job. There's no denying that Jim Harbaugh knows how to develop a college quarterback. The two quarterbacks that he developed while he was in college. One was at University of San Diego. It's Josh Johnson. He's still in the league. He's been in the league for 10 years now. He set records at the University of San Diego. He was one of the most revered toreros ever to come through those doors. The other one, we all know him, Andrew Luck, whom many think is either, if he's not the best quarterback in the league right now, many think when it's all said and done, he'll go down as the best quarterback in the NFL. So if you look at it from that perspective, we had spoken before, and I told you I thought it would be interesting to see what quarterback would flip to go and have an opportunity to play under Jim Harbaugh. And I was just waiting for that one guy to just read the tea leaves, because right now the quarterback situation at Michigan is very flux. You don't know what you have. You don't know how good those guys really are. You don't know the caliber, but you know that Zach Gentry coming in, he has a blank slate, and Jim Harbaugh is going to have a chance to work with that blank slate. I think Harbaugh is going to be excited to have him, but I think Zach Gentry definitely should be excited to be a Michigan Wolverine.
And some intriguing mid-major, lower-level type recruits that had came in and made some impact are, could potentially make an impact. I look down in the MEAC at Hampton. I think they signed a very talented tailback in Jerick Chambers out of Spencer, North Carolina, North Rowan High School. He's a guy that runs 4.45. He's elusive. He's about 6 feet, 180. So let's say he's about 5'11", about 180. Let's even say he's 185. He's coming off a 2,000-yard season as a junior, rushed for 1,500 yards last year. Also played basketball while in high school. So I think his footwork is where it needs to be. You watch his tape. This guy is going to be a game breaker. So I think he can play early as a freshman at Hampton, who's, again, they were one of those perennial playoff teams in the MEAC. And now getting guys like this, I think they had a solid recruiting class as well. Jabril G is another guy at the defensive tackle position, 6'3", 290 out of Georgia. I think that was another big-time grab for them. So I like what Connell Maynard and his coaching staff have done this season, bringing in top quality prospects in the MEAC this season. I think they did a good job.
And I agree. Another FCS school that we've talked about, we've broken down a few of their prospects. I really like what they've done in their recruiting class this year, and that's Lehigh. I think that Lehigh, the recruiting class that they brought in, it can be argued that they brought in an offense that has the ability to be their starting offense this year. And that's amazing when you look at the amount of talent they brought in. But the crown jewel of that talent, in my opinion, is the quarterback. And they only brought in one, and that tells you a lot. Brad Mays, the quarterback out of Berkeley Prep, a guy whom I've been high on now for a year and a half, a guy whom I thought was the best passer in the Tampa Bay area. And I was almost sure that somebody was going to come in 11th hour, 12th hour, and offer him, an FBS school, come in and offer him a scholarship late. And they were able to hold on to him. That doesn't mean that an FBS school didn't come in and offer him late, but I think that he felt the loyalty from that school, and he showed loyalty back. This kid, in my opinion, will come in and start day one. He'll be a four-year starter for Lehigh. And because he's going to be a four-year starter for Lehigh, I think he'll have the opportunity to pull more quality Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Pasco County talent up to Lehigh, and it can be the start of a chain reaction. He's already been able to pull his buddy up, the guy who's protected him for the last 3 years, his offensive lineman, Aiden O'Carroll, 6'7", 285 pounds. So He's already gone to that and got that talent out. We spoke about the center that they also signed back when we were breaking down film, and I apologize, the name eludes me right now, but Tim Wagner, the center that we were talking about, and we broke him down earlier in the year. He's a guy who can come in and start right now. So right there, you're looking at a quarterback, a left tackle, and a center that you can start with, and you can build and mold through through maybe a rough first year, but after that, there's still 3 years to go, and those guys aren't going anywhere. I think that they afforded themselves a major luxury this year by signing this class of 31 kids.
And when I looked at Lehigh Live versus Lafayette in Yankee Stadium this year, the one element that stood out, that was a glaring weakness, was quarterback play. And to grab a guy like that now, great chance, I believe, to come in and see significant time as a freshman. And staying in the FCS ranks, another team that I think did a great job that could be a factor in the Southland Conference, you look at Lamar. Lamar has a lot of returning starters on both sides of the ball, but defensively, when you look at defensive end David Dorsett, this guy at 6'3", 240, and they run the 3-4 defense, so he's going to be probably 265 by the time fall camp starts. I think this is a player that could be an impact day one type guy for Lamar. So keep an eye on Lamar and the Cardinals in the Southland Conference. We know it was wide open this year with Southeastern Louisiana, with Sam Houston State. You also look at Central Arkansas and Stephen F. Austin having big time years as well. I think Lamar is primed for the taking. last year was like a four-team logjam tied for first with Southeastern and Sam Houston getting into the playoffs. I think Lamar has a chance to leapfrog a couple of those teams and make a difference. And, you know, we look at the FCS ranks, and we're talking recruiting, we're talking football, a lot of great teams in the FCS. And speaking of great defenses, on the line now is Binyard Jones, a defensive line coach from Bryant University. Coach, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good, Gene. How are you?
Well, I'm good, Coach Jones. You're talking to myself and you're talking to Emory. Full disclosure, Coach Jones was actually my coach back when I was in college at Arkansas Tech, and we've remained close. You know, he's been very supportive in my career as a coach and what we do with the media, and I've enjoyed always being able to reach out to him and get some words of wisdom anytime I can. And I know that he's been at Bryant, and Bryant's been really trying to turn that corner and become, you know, that consistent force up there. And we're really excited to talk to you and hear about your recruiting class this year.
Well, I appreciate you reaching out to me to be able to talk to you guys tonight. So,
now, Coach, you have two defensive linemen that are now going to the NFL. Jeff Kovitz, I believe, was out saying, I saw you guys play live versus Sacred Heart, and I came away impressed with Kovitz and also Noah Kezzi. I think both guys are talented. Do you look at your recruiting class now, and do you see guys with that type of potential coming in?
Well, we have one kid that's potentially like that. You know, it's hard to tell at this stage, you know, if a guy can really reach, you know, the heights that Jeff met, you know, these last few years, but we have a young man that has a high motor, pretty big body, and, you know, did a really good job as a PG at Cheshire Academy this year. And I think that he's going to be a guy that's going to be a pleasant surprise for us. You know, that's the most dynamic kid we got. But, you know, the thing that's different for us is, you know, we have several kids that we don't know what they're going to be because, you know, they're high motor guys, but some of them are kind of, you know, smaller body types right now, and they haven't fully developed. They're in the 220, 230 range, and even after a few years of college. You know, I like my guys to be more mobile than just big, beefy bodies, you know, and that's just my style. You know, I like them 255, 260 range, so I think they're strong enough to hold up, but they're athletic enough to run and play. And so we have several guys, I think, that are fit tech. You know, as far as the NFL goes, it's going to be, you know, a long journey because, you know, that's a hard, you know, bridge to cross anyway. And obviously coming from the FCS level, you know, upright, not having the notoriety of some of the other schools, it's a little harder uphill battle for those guys. But I think, you know, both of those two, you mentioned, you know, Jeff and Matica, you know, definitely have the potential to do something. Right now they're training, and it's just somebody giving them a chance. That's the biggest thing that I found for us is no one, you know, wants to jump up and say, you know, every team came through this fall and they liked them. But it's like he's not big enough. But, he, you know, we played teams that had former FBS players on it, and he dominated those guys and, you know, was obviously, they said, the best, you know, defensive player in the conference. But it's just someone needs to take a chance on him, and that's going to be, you know, who's willing to do that? I have no idea. So. But as far as our recruiting class goes, I'm pleasantly surprised with our guys. You know, I was pleased when, you know, when all those guys signed today. And, you know, sat down and really looked over the board. You know, we really got a solid class from top to bottom, you know, of guys who are going to come in and, you know, play and contribute in their careers here.
That's awesome. Looking at your recruiting class, what would you say was the biggest need going into this off season, and how did you go about addressing that with your recruits?
Well, for me personally, you know, defensively, our biggest need was a pass rush guy. You know, losing the two guys that we had, obviously they're dynamic and they made plays, you know. So what we really looked at is trying to target guys that can get to the quarterback, show the tenacity on the field that, you know, I think pass rushing and coaching that is, it's a guy, what we say, a want to. Guys who, you know, have a desire to want to get to the quarterback as quick as they can. So we want to get guys who can put on the field that could do that to help everything, you know. In our mind, you know, that cascades back to the mid-level and, you know, third level with the secondary if you can't get to the quarterback. So definitely kind of looked at, you know, obviously we had some other needs. You know, we filled some roles in the skill positions because we lost a couple safeties. And, you know, our free safety and strong safety we lost to graduation. So, you know, we have to go out and obviously get some guys there. And I think we, you know, we got a skill in one kid this year, actually, you know, is a really talented player out of Virginia Beach that, you know, we got late, you know, kind of was a, you know, thing that he wasn't, he was getting recruited by another school and, you know, kind of his cousin was coming. So, you know, it was a really good fit for us. And it was obviously he's a really talented player. You know, we just got to get him up here and in the system and, you know, see where the, you know, where the future goes for him.
Now, Coach, you guys have been consistent, you know, for the last 5 and very good football team. Do you think that has helped put Bryan on the recruiting map as far as high school? There's more about Bryan, the level of football that you got?
Yeah, it helps. You know, being consistent in anything helps. You know, I think that for us, you know, the one thing that we offer is a great brand of football, but a high academic education. And, you know, obviously, you know, we're competing with the Patriot League for kids. We're competing with the Ivies for kids. And, you know, we lose a lot of kids to them. But the one thing that, you know, we want guys to understand is they can come up here, get a great education, and play a high-caliber football and be able to compete on the national level and go out. You know, this year, obviously, we didn't win the conference like we planned on. You know, we fell short at the end. But, you know, we're ranked, you know, for 6 weeks during the season, which is something we've never done here before. So we're making things go, and I think that's all helped contributing to the people that we're trying to attract here. And I think for us, you know, obviously getting down into the Mid-Atlantic region has helped us because, you know, those young men want a good education, you know, and so we offer them that with a good, you know, good caliber of football. And, you know, we, for us, the best thing is we really hit the East Coast from down from Miami all the way up to Rhode Island. You know, we try to get in every corridor down 95.
And speaking of Florida and Florida roots, Coach, how have you gone about making more inroads into the quote unquote hotbeds like Florida and, like you said earlier, Virginia Beach? How have you gone about going into there? Was it just you kind of got lucky with a kid and then that opened up the gates, or was it an active thing where you sought to get bodies into Florida, get bodies into the Virginia Beach area, Virginia area, and find that talent that you knew was there that could be factors for you going forward?
Well, the Florida thing was, you know, Coach Fine has done a great job down there. We had a young man here named Joel Rodriguez who did a tremendous job for us in Florida. He played at University of Miami, and he was our Florida recruiter before he left to go to Fordham. And he did a great job of getting kind of a, you know, a pipeline started. So, you know, with him, you know, we've had people just continue that. So that part has been good for us. As far as getting into the Virginia area, up until this year, we never recruited Virginia, you know, other than just phone calls. And so what I did actively is just really to really go out and really search. And, you know, we start our process, you know, we actually start next week. You know, as soon as signing day is over, we go out and we start targeting juniors and really trying to eliminate those guys that don't fit our academic index. And once you track those guys down, you know, it's, you know, getting them interested, because what I found is most people don't know about the brand of Bryant, and it's just trying to get them interested and attracted. And once we do that, and once they get here, they love it. It's just getting them here has been the biggest challenge for us. But just really, you know, going down, shaking, you know, looking under trees and bushes and, you know, not really, you know, getting tired, because recruiting, if you want to be good at it, is something you have to do daily. And, you know, for us, we take it, you know, very serious. And, you know, we really try to target guys that fit us. And, you know, we don't go after guys just because they're talented, because ultimately we want to win with character. And for us, that's the biggest thing our president preaches to us and we talk to our young men about. But like you said, it's just really getting out there and actively, you know, sticking your hand in, you know, going to every door, hey, coach, how you doing? You know, just introducing yourself and, you know, developing a rapport with those people so that they're willing to, you know, hey, coach, you know, you came through here, you did a good job, those kind of things. So,
now, very good. And you've been a coach at multiple levels, from Division II up to Division I. You've been a coordinator. You've been on the offensive side, the defensive side. As a defensive line coach, do you put an emphasis on recruiting your region looking for talent, or do you really put an emphasis on trying to find great defensive linemen?
What I want to do is find the best player possible to help us, whether they're from our area, from my area, or anyone's area, you know, because, you know, I think what you get caught up in recruiting is, you know, you want to get your position strong, obviously, and you want to, you know, get your area, but sometimes your area may not be as fruitful as another, and I think that that's where you have to, you know, toe the line and help once you get a kid on campus, no matter who he is, love him up and try to get him a part of the program. You know, I look nationwide for D-linemen. That's, you know, I'm the Virginia recruiter, but I'm the nationwide defensive line coach, you know, recruiter. So if it's a kid in Hawaii, if it's a kid in Washington State, you know, I'm going to get my eyes on him and look at him, and we're going to grade him and see who fits us, you know. And, you know, because at the end of the day, I want to put the best product on the field. And if I'm not doing that, we're doing a disservice to our current players and, you know, to the coaching staff. So it's really just getting out, trying to find those guys that fit you the best, you know, no matter where they come from.
Well, Coach Jones, I appreciate it. And again, congratulations on a great recruiting class. I know you brought in quite a few guys. I know that the intention was to continue to build the roster and replenish those, you know, the coffers that may have gone a little dry from guys graduating or guys leaving early for whatever reason it is. I think you've done a great job this year. Continued success, and we're looking forward to seeing you in the fall.
Thanks, Gene. I appreciate it, and good luck to you and everything.
I appreciate it.
All
that's
right,
Coach Benyard Jones. Have a good one. Coach Benyard Jones from Bryant University. Once again, Bryant did a great job in recruiting this year, and it just goes to show, Emery, that there are programs that are right on the cusp, and I feel like Bryant is one of those teams that's right on the cusp, and a great recruiting class can be that thing that pushes you over the, you know, over the hump, and it'll be interesting. You've seen them, you know where they are, and you know where they have to go. How far do you think they're away from really, really being a national contender?
Well, first, Coach hit the nail on the head. He's a great interview, and you can tell the passion he speaks with why guys want to come and play for Bryant. And he can also spoke to the development process that takes. I thought he had two good NFL defensive linemen. He talked about those guys on the interview. Not only do they have a great education, they also come in and can get developed properly to where they can play pro ball. I think that's the thing about recruiting. Yes, some guys have the quote-unquote stars now, but what do they do once they get to campus? And I think Brian, he mentioned it. They were, what, 6 weeks ranked in five. The only team that stood in their way was St. Martin. I think they could have won that ball game. It sort of collapsed at the end, but that was a play-in game to get into the playoffs. So if they were one game away from the playoffs and they lost the last game of the season, which was to Sacred Heart, they're not that far off. Yes, they have to replace those two guys on the defensive line, two pass rushers, but I think with the way they recruit and the way they develop, they'll be right back in the thick of things because they play that brand of football that no one wants to face. They're physical on both sides of the line of scrimmage, and I think Bryant will find their way back in the thick of the NEC race next season.
And Coach Jones does a great job. I mean, he's been a well-revered defensive line coach. I remember back when I went to Arkansas Tech, he was actually coaching the offensive line that year. And with that came, you know, us tight ends. And I was just moving from receiver to tight end, and it was a very difficult adjustment for me because I had never played with my hand in the dirt. And he really – you know, he really went out of his way to not coddle me, but to treat me like I should be picking up on, you know, what needs to be learned. I should be picking up on the system. I should be getting better on a daily basis. And I respected him for it. And I think that that's what he's been able to do everywhere he's gone is show that he knows the technical aspects of the game because he played the game and he's coached the game. But also be able to give a guy the respect to just just let them know how it is for real, and not give them any type of any type of frill. No sugarcoating from Vineyard Jones. That's for sure.
That's the type of coach that you grow to see that a lot of guys actually want, and they want guys to coach them up and coach them hard because that's making you better. The coddling process, that's done with. That was high school. And in college, I want to get better. If you have those goals, as all of these athletes do, whether they show up at Monmouth or they show up at Florida State or even Mount Union, I want to get to the pros. I want to get better. I want to be the best football player on the field when we play, no matter who the opponent is. And that takes tough coaching. That takes coaching a player up and expecting the best from them, and that's what you get in return when guys are getting coached up that way. So I agree with you. From the sound of it, he sounds like he's a guy that doesn't take stuff from anyone. He's going to tell you like it is, and look at it. Now look how you turned out, being able to go from wide receiver to tight end, and being able to do it on both ends. So I don't see a problem with the way he recruits and the way he coaches, because the proof is in the pudding. We talked about the two defensive linemen that he has that were seniors, and you can tell that the guys they bring in now probably understand that, which is why they signed them, because he talked about character as well. So they're going to be back in the thick of things, and we know how recruiting is the lifeblood of any program. And one more program that I want to talk about that jumped in the mix that had an outstanding day. I think they had the best recruiting class in the country regardless of division, and that's the Raging Cajuns, obviously. But not because I'm biased, but because I just like the fact that they're recruiting East and West. I love that about what they're doing now, and that's why they've been successful. But interesting story, I got a few L's this afternoon. They signed an Irish Hank. And if you don't know who he's a guy from Vine who made the biggest splash with the media by throwing the football up to himself, running down the field about 40 yards to catch the football, and it went viral. He was on the Today Show. He was all over the web. Louisiana signed him to play receiver. Now, he was a three-star prospect, and when you look at his game tape, you can see why teams were excited to bring him in, because he has tremendous speed. It doesn't take much. You get the football in his hands quickly, and he's able to make one miss. He had a productive career out there in Texas, so be interested to see how well he fits in with the spread offense attack for the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, the Raging Cajuns afforded themselves well, and I think sometimes it takes signing a guy that may be raw, may have some deficiencies, but definitely has a skill set that you can't teach, which is speed. And if they can get him into the system and allow him to learn and be able to refine some things in his game, I think that they'll have a steal in that young man. But also, they'll have a footnote that they can always point back to, something that brings a little bit more shine, a little bit more notoriety to the program, and that's what you're looking at when you're, when you're a lower level D1 school and you're trying to really be relevant and continue to build your relevance against powerhouses like LSU, and so when you're competing with LSU and you're competing with and you're competing with Tulane, and you're competing with La Tech, and all the numerous other programs that are in, Louisiana and the surrounding states, you have to do something that allows you to stand out, and I think that's what they've tried to do, to try to stand out.
And what's interesting, when you look at a program on signing day and guys that are losing campus legends, and one team in particular, Old Dominion, they lose their most prolific quarterback in Taylor Heineke. He's gone. He was the quarterback that helped start that program a short time ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So they have a huge hole at quarterback, which is why they went in to the junior college ranks, went to Fullerton Community College, and signed Joey Verhaeghe, 6'3", 220. He's probably going to come in and start and be that stopgap while they try to develop a freshman quarterback. That was the only quarterback they brought in this year. They probably have some guy on the roster right now that's not ready yet. So I want to ask you, do you think that's a sound strategy for a school to bring in to replace a legend? Let's say we've seen some teams lose big-time program you know, faces of the program. But they have guys in place like Georgia. They lose Gurley, but they have Chubb in place. So let's say for a young program like Old Dominion, losing a guy of that caliber, 15,000 passing yards, do you think this is the right way to go by going the JUCO route and then still developing that young player behind him?
I think it can be a good way to go. I think the problem probably came beforehand. If you're not thinking 2 and 3 steps ahead, then you're probably behind the rest. Yes, you have a prolific quarterback. Yes, he's great, but he's not going to be there forever. Where was the contingency plan if your quarterback got hurt? Where was the plan of when he, you know, steps away? Where is that guy who's been in the system for 2 years and now he's stepping into his third year where he can become the starter? They should have had that guy in place. So for me, it depends. Number one, is the quarterback the only thing you're losing? Because if the quarterback's the only thing you're losing, then I think you have to get somebody that can come in and compete now while you develop a guy for, you know, for a 2 to 3 year run. If you're losing a lot more than just your quarterback, say if that quarterback was also flanked by a few receivers and a running back and a couple offensive linemen, where you're really restocking and replenishing the coffers for the entire offense, I think that it's better to just take your lumps with a young guy and build everything and grow everything organically like you did the first time. There are some programs that are just not built to be continuous winners. There are some programs that have to take that step back and then build their way back up, and they'll make a run every, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 years at a championship because they'll have a senior-laden team. It's now, too early to say that Old Dominion's that team because they haven't been around long enough. That's what we're going to find out with the way that they're making their moves right now.
Well, one team that has been around long enough and has been that consistent winner has been the Maine Black Bears. Maine will win a football game 3-0 because their defense is always outstanding. And joining us on the line right now is the defensive line coach, Jordan Stevens. Coach Stevens, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on this evening.
Well, we appreciate that, Coach. Sure. Congratulations on your signing day. Go ahead, Gene. I'm sorry to jump in.
No, it's all right. Again, full disclosure, Jordan was one of the first players that I actually had the pleasure of coaching. I was fresh out of, man, was I fresh out of high school? I mean, out of college, or was this my second year out of college coaching? But we saw Jordan down at the Maine high school all-star game, if I'm not mistaken. And at the time, Jordan was being considered like a fullback, and people were like, oh, yeah, you know, he's a great back. And myself and the defensive coordinator at that time, Coach Daly, looked at each other. The moment we saw him playing, we said, that kid's going to play middle linebacker for us. And sure enough, he came in when I was at Bridgeton Academy, which is a postgraduate school in Maine. He came in, started at middle linebacker for us, and had a fantastic year. Parlayed that year into a scholarship from the University of Maine, and the rest is history. He went there, had a fantastic career. Actually, transitioned to the defensive line, defensive end, I believe, and you know, had a run at an NFL, at a couple of NFL looks. He settled back down into Maine, and he's doing a wonderful job working with their defensive line. And I can't be more proud to have him on our show and to say that I've had if nothing but a little small hand in helping him become the man he is today.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, just speaking on Bridgeton Academy, I mean, you know, in my experience there, that was, you know, obviously one of the biggest decisions I made going there, and, you know, obviously you had a role in that, and, you know, it opened up a lot of doors for me, you know, not only with scholarships, but, you know, the career I have now in coaching. It was definitely the right step in the right direction for me and kind of propelled me in the direction I wanted to go in terms of playing and coaching.
I actually wanted to, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Jordan, because I wanted to speak about it for for a quick second, because a lot of kids out there don't really understand what a postgraduate year can do for you. Can you describe for us what your situation was pre-Bridgeton, and then how Bridgeton helped you to have a different decision to make once you came out of Bridgeton?
Well, for me, out of high school, obviously, I'm from Maine, so I didn't have a lot of interest from any colleges, and I had a couple of Division III opportunities to go, and play college football. But for me, I really wanted to play Division I. I thought I was a Division I player, but I felt like I had developed a little later, in high school, and I thought an extra year would really benefit me, and kind of open up some doors for me in terms of scholarship offers, and so the prep school was the best thing I did, and I was a qualifier out of high school. I just, for me, it was more of a football move to go there because, I was a scholarship player, but at the time I wasn't a scholarship player. So it's, everyone becomes a scholarship player. Sometimes there's a 3-year window, and we see that with some of the guys that we have. Some guys are out of high school as a scholarship player. Some guys are, a scholarship player after they get their PG year, or some we sign to a partial scholarship and they become a full scholarship player after their second year in college. So, the development of, kids and is just, especially, at that age, it comes at different times. And sometimes it comes when they're 18, sometimes it comes when they're 19, sometimes 20. And for me, I just needed that extra year to really kind of prove myself and reach the goals and the places I want to go.
You mentioned this, Coach, the fact that you guys, you needed that extra year. But when you look at Maine and look at the program as a whole, they're consistently good. And is that because Maine is now being mentioned as a recruiting high school hotbed like Georgia or Jersey? Or do you guys do a great job passing that net wide and bringing guys in to Maine? Because quite honestly, a lot of guys tend to overlook the state as a whole, let alone the football program, but you guys have been consistent winners at the FCS level. How are you able to do that and recruit so well?
For us, like you mentioned, we, because of the level of football here in the state, we're able to pull, two or three guys from the state each year. But the majority of our guys come from, we recruit from Northern Virginia up, and, usually from in just Eastern PA. That's furthest west we'll go. And so what we've done with that is we've built a lot of relationships with specifically New Jersey. And we have strong ties in North and South Jersey and Eastern PA, the Philly area. And we've done more as of recently because of the footprint of the conference, because it is so well known in the Baltimore, Maryland area because of all the schools in Virginia. The CAA, the conference we play in, is very well known in those areas, so that helps us in kind of, we can sell the fact that we're going to play down there three times a year, and, we're going to be close to your family down for games, and so that's helped us a lot. Just the conference we're in has helped us a lot in the fact that people, they don't think of Maine, they don't think of, Antarctica, they think of, or the North Pole, they know it's not, too far away for them to go. But I think we've done a great job with just the last three classes we've had. I think we've gotten some really strong classes, and that's, more a testament to the coaches and, us recruiting all year long.
And speaking of that class, why don't you tell us a little bit about your class? What did you think was your biggest needs overall? And then you specifically as a defensive line coach, was there something that you were looking for in recruiting this year that you were able to get done with this class that you have coming in?
For us, just speaking, I'll speak on both sides of the ball. On offense, we graduated two senior wide receivers that, both of them had very good careers, and one of them, DeMar Allman, is going to have a, he'll be in a camp somewhere, whether it's as a free agent or a high draft pick, but he's a guy we're really excited about. But we graduated two receivers, so we needed to get some guys in the receiver position. We're still actually, we signed one guy, and we're still looking to get another actually after signing day. But on the opposite side of the ball, running back, and we ended up taking a quarterback because we had one quarterback transfer, so we ended up taking quarterback late. But the biggest thing on offense was the receiver position and adding a couple guys to the O-line, because we'll be graduating two guys inside next year. And, you know, obviously with our offense and, you know, what we do, we're a young offense last year, and we're young on the edges of the tackle position, but, you know, the future is bright on that side of the ball. Defensively, we really needed to get some guys at the linebacker position, because after this year, we're graduating, I believe it's three linebackers. So, you know, we're going to be losing a few guys, but it's good because we got three strong linebackers coming in, and Sterling Sheffield, Taji Lowe, John Kay, and we got a kid, Davis Turner, from the state of Maine. So we got four linebackers coming in, and, you know, Sterling Sheffield and Taji Lowe were two of our top linebackers, you know, and we were able to get those guys committed, and we're excited about them. And it was good to see, because we had a bunch of guys come up the first weekend. We did really well our first official visit weekend, and we got a lot of guys committed. And, you know, usually when that happens, it kind of snowballs, and the other kids committing, and, you know, you're able to really pull a strong class together once you get a good group of kids that, you know, are going to invest in Maine. You know, just speaking on the defensive line, we really want to, you know, get some good defensive ends this year. Because last year, what we try to do this year, no matter if we have two scholarships in the D-line, we're going to take the, you know, the two best D-linemen. So whether that be if last year it happened to be two inside guys, and we took two inside guys that we really liked, and this year, you know, we knew we had to get some ends, and you know, I think we did that. In you know, kid John Mims out of Long Branch, and another defensive end from Kayon Whitaker from DC. So we were able to get those guys committed, and we're really excited about those guys. And we got the other kid, Charles Mitchell, inside, a defensive tackle, which you know, we still need to add to that group inside, and guys that were explosive and could come off the ball. And for me, you know, the best way I know I play D-line is the guys who play with tremendous motor. You know, a lot of our ends aren't 6'4". You know, they're 6'1", 245, 250. They have tremendous motors, and they run to the ball, and they're physical, and they get after the quarterback. So those are the guys that play in our league. And, you know, you're not always going to have the length, but you're going to have the guys that have the motors who make up for it with tremendous effort, and, you know, and they play the run well, and they're physical. And those are the guys that we've always done a great job with here, and, you know, have had a good, strong tradition of guys that even might have played linebacker in high school and now play defensive end.
Now, Coach, you mentioned you guys having, you know, an advantage of being able to get those in-state guys, because, again, you guys are the only Maine, pun intended, program in the state of Maine. But
right.
Do you look at any challenges you see that perhaps could potentially hinder you guys, and how do you guys overcome those challenges?
In terms of, you know, Maine recruiting the kids in-state, you know, we've took our lumps with some kids that have committed elsewhere, and so we do. It's not, you know, it's not a sure thing that we're going to sign kids from Maine. You know, we obviously got to do our job and do a good job recruiting those guys early on in high school. You know, and like I said earlier, you know, it's the guys that come to Maine. We always have we've just felt that they have to have some type of interest on their end, like a genuine interest in Maine. They have to previously know about Maine. You know, where they're, you know, when they come up, they're not just completely taken off, you know, just, you know, feel like they're in a different world. You know, they're, when they come to Maine, they know they have a previous history. They knew someone that went there. They know about us. They've seen us on TV. So, you know, there's always got to be a mutual, you know, a feeling towards each other. And that's how we've been able to get, you know, a lot of good guys. And that comes from recruiting. I mean, you get guys that they know that went to Maine, and that always helps. But the challenges are like anything. You know, we're not down the road. We're not, you know, we're not something you drive by. We you know, Coach Cosgrove, our head coach, just, you know, he says it's a destination school. You're not going to, you know, just drive by it. You got to come to Maine. But it's a special place where, you know, a lot of guys are able to focus on academics and athletics and achieve great things. And we've had a strong tradition of, you know, having some great players that have been able to go on to the NFL. And like you guys said earlier, you know, the thing that I think I'm most proud about Maine is we've always competed in our conference, and you know, almost always been in games and had a chance to win at the end.
Oh, that's awesome, Jordan. I appreciate you joining us today again. Congratulations. I know that signing day is big. In the case of you're spending a lot of energy, you know, a lot of manpower, a lot of hours that are spent to really make sure that, you know, you're getting future Black Bears to come to Maine. And I know y'all are doing a great job up there, and I think you're just a class away, and this could be that class. I really like what you've done this year. Proud of everything you've done, and really appreciate you joining us tonight.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on. It's good catching up, and I'll be in touch, and I'd be happy to come on any other time.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely going to reach out. I think I got some receivers that are going to be still looking for some homes, so I'll definitely, you know, hit you up and let you know about that. But then we got to catch up. I've got to get back up to Maine and, you know, get a couple old sodas in us.
I'm down for that.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
And that was Jordan Stevens, defensive line coach at the University of Maine. And Emory, you can just hear, like that's what happens when former players end up being coaches at a school. You can hear the passion for the school in his voice. You know that he believes what he's saying. And that resonates to a recruit. When someone hears you talk about a university, they can feel that passion that you have. They can hear it in your voice. I think that plays a lot, and it's probably a reason why they get so many good recruits up there.
And that's partly the reason why they, you know, are always competitive. I can't stress that enough. Maine is in every ball game. It doesn't matter if they're playing Syracuse. It doesn't matter if they're playing another FBS program. They're going to be in the game with a chance to win, and they've done that for a long time. And whether it's, you know, in the rain or in the snow up there, they've done a great job. Very well-coached football team, and it always starts up front, defensive line. And Jordan Stephens definitely has a hand in making that happen. So I was impressed with what he's saying, and you're absolutely right. When you've been in the program, you know the program well. You can speak to it from experience, and kids can feed off that, and that's what they want to be a part of. So two great interviews, man. We were up in the Northeast this week with the guests, with Maine and Bryant, and, you know, Jordan Stephens was just on. Benyard Jones was on earlier. And we want to thank those guys personally for taking time out their busy schedule to join us today. And, Gene, any closing thoughts you want to have before you want to throw out there before we wrap up?
Well, just a follow-up. In the spring of last year, we broke down during our recruiting roundup when we were doing our live breakdowns. We broke down Bruce Anderson. I don't know if you remember him or not, but he was a running back out of Newsom High School. And I remember at the time he wasn't at Newsom, he was at another school, but he transferred to Newsom, and I think we talked about the fact that he was being used like a fullback, but in reality he was probably a guy who needed to, you know, change his aim, change his focus. Well, today he signed a national letter of intent with North Dakota State. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? North Dakota State just seems to find those guys, and he's going to go up there, and he's going to be loved up there. And if he handles his business, and he keeps his nose clean, and he's able to, he'll be the next guy in the line at North Dakota State that runs for, you know, 1,300 yards a year, and has a chance to put 2 and 3 and 4 rings on his fingers. So it's great to see guys that we actually reached out to and we heard feedback from who are looking to get better. And they committed themselves to getting better, and they actually are seeing the fruits of that labor. And that's part of what we love doing here at Football Game Plan. It's not just about, you know, hey, we just want to talk football. We want to help, and we want to continue to boost on the morale, because we are former players. We get our kicks off of watching other players succeed. And so that's a great thing, and I just wanted to share that with our audience.
And also another guy that I remember talking – and off air was Demetri Holloway, who ended up signing today with James Madison. So kudos to those two guys. And as always, Gene, it was a great opportunity, great show. And we have a lot of football left. We're going to keep this thing going down the line. We're going to break down some prospects either on air or on Google+. Keep an eye on that. So for Gene Clemens, I'm Emory Hunt. Follow him on Twitter @GeneClemens. I'm @FBallGamePlan. And this show will be archived at footballgameplan.com/network if you want to hear it again, and you can download it on iTunes. So for Gene, I'm Emery, and also for the two coaches, Jordan Stevens out of Maine and Benyard Jones out of Bryant, great show tonight, and we thank you guys for listening. ¶¶